If you take your Bible, hold your place here. We'll come back to it in a little bit. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of Amos. Amos, chapter number 5, if you have your Bibles. Amos, chapter number 5. And in verse number 21, the Bible says, I hate, God speaking, Amos 5, verse 21, I hate, God speaking, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Now, these are days that God commanded them to observe. These are feast days that God commanded them to observe. So even though God's commanded them to observe them, even though it's scripture for them to obey it, God's saying to them that he hates their feast days. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Sort of like Palm Sunday and Ishtar. Amen. God hates, let me repeat that, I despise your feast days. People are more interested in Palm Sunday and Ishtar than they are in the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. They couldn't care less what God says, but they want to have their pagan traditions about having a palm given to them on Sunday. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah 1. Isaiah, chapter number 1. And verse number 11. I start at verse number 10 because God's calling his people Sodom and Gomorrah. In Isaiah 1, verse number 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Amen. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? And God's commanded them to do it. And in verse number 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. God is saying he hates it. I don't care how solemn it is. I don't care how sincere it is. My Bible says that God hates it. I don't know about you, but I think we ought to hate what God hates. That's like, he hates the feast days that he commanded the children of Israel to obey and to follow. Look at Hosea, chapter number 2. Hosea, chapter number 2. That's why people are more interested in Palm Sunday and Easter than they are in bringing a Bible and reading a Bible. Hosea, chapter number 2. Verse number 11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. God's telling you. He's going to make them stop. Tongues shall cease, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Everybody's making a big thing, not everybody, but these charismaniacs and Pentecostals make a big thing about speaking in tongues. God says, I'm going to make them cease because you know what? It's all vanity. Amen. It's blasphemy. Amen. Well, the same way that the Jews had their feasts that were commanded of them, God says, I hate them. So he said in Amos 5:21, He hates them. The same ones that he ordained them, the same ones that he commanded them to observe, he hates them. You know why? Because people come to church just like today. They come to church just to, I don't know, not to hear the word of God, not to hear preaching, not to hear teaching, but to hear some gossip. They see what somebody's wearing. And that's what the main purpose most people come to church today is. Just to see what's going on, what the latest news is, what the latest gossip. Obviously not to hear what God says in the word of God. Most people. Jeremiah chapter 14, please. Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14. Verse number 10. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, to this people. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Of course, we don't like reading those verses in the Bible, do we? God told Jeremiah, don't pray for these people for good. Look at the next verse, verse number 12. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept. God commanded them to do it. But God says, I'm sick and tired of the way you're bringing your oblations and your sacrifices and your offerings. He said, is sacrifice better than obedience? He said, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. But we got to make sure we're C and E Christians, you know, Christmas and Easter. You know, I, if I don't go to any other church service, I'm going to go Christmas and Easter because that's the pagan holiday that I need to worship, you know. That's the heathen, paganistic worship that I need to go to, you know, because I'm a Christian, in quotes. And both of them are pagan holidays. You know, people get mad at the Jehovah's Witnesses for the wrong reason. They're 100% right about Easter, and they're 100% right about Christmas. And people who claim to be believers who are ignorant of the Scriptures get mad at the Jehovah's Witness because your Christmas tree is more important to you than the Bible. Your Sunday clothes on Sunday morning, Easter, and the Easter bunny and the eggs are more important to you than what the Bible says. So when the preacher preaches the truth, you get mad when God says, I hate them. I hate your feasts. I hate your holy days. I hate your festivals, even though he commanded them in the Old Testament. Because you come to show off like they were coming to show off. I'm not going to miss Easter. I'm not going to miss Palm Sunday. Pastor, where are the palms at? Right here. Smack upside the head, man. How come we have palms at our church? That tells you how much we've been evil influenced by Catholicism in this area. Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday observance was in the 4th century by the Greeks. It had to be the Greeks, you know. The Romish church picked it up in the 6th century. But before that, there's no such thing as Palm Sunday. And Jesus didn't enter Jerusalem on a Sunday. Just telling you. Hosea, do we go to Hosea yet? How about Proverbs chapter 15? Proverbs chapter 15. You're more interested in your Easter clothes than you are in the King James Bible. You're more interested in Easter egg hunts around a church property than you are about the King James Bible. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. I don't care how much you sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's what God says in the Bible. That's what Samuel told King Saul. Saul said, well, I love Jesus. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. Well, I wonder why he puts it twice here. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? You know, some people come to church for all the wrong reasons. Find a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend. Look for a babysitting service. Hear the latest gossip, what somebody's wearing, the latest news, you know. Well, God said the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? I don't know what your motives are. I don't know what your intents are. I don't know what your intentions are. Only God knows that. You ought to ask yourself why you come to church. Because your dad and mom force you to come? Huh? Because your husband forces you to come? Because your husband, wife forces you to come? I mean, you ought to ask yourself why you do what you do for God. Too many people are doing all the right things for all the right or wrong reasons. They bring it with a wicked mind. You can go through the motions and act religious. That's exactly what the Jews were doing in the Old Testament. God called them Sodom and Gomorrah. Proverbs 28. This is Old Testament, where they were commanded to bring the offerings. They were commanded to bring the sacrifice. They were commanded to. By the way, just like God commands you to come to church in Hebrews 10:25. But he hates it when you come with a wicked mind. I'm just telling you. You ought to come anyway. I'm just saying God hates it. That means you ought to get right with it. That doesn't mean don't show up for church. That doesn't mean you shouldn't sacrifice on the altar. That doesn't mean you shouldn't give the offerings. You just need to get your heart right. Get your mind right. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse number 9. Ointment and perfume. No, wrong chapter. Proverbs 28, verse number 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. That's the book that you hold in your hand. If you have a King James Bible, that's the book that you have in your hand. Watch this. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Oh, Pastor, I don't like what the Bible says in that area. Go ahead. You can pray all you want. God says it's an abomination. You can weep. You can cry. You can wail. You can be on your bended knees. You can be with your hands lifted up. You can say as sincere as possible, like, as if you're an actor, an actress of Hollywood, like a whore or a harlot from Hollywood. So, oh, I love Jesus. Well, God says if you turn your ear away from the law, your prayer is an abomination. Old Testament, New Testament. Colossians chapter number 2, please. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. You know, if I was a child, I'd read and memorize all the verses in the Bible concerning my obedience to my parents. Amen. I would memorize those verses if I was a child, teenager. What God says about obeying your parents. If I was a wife, I'd read every single verse and memorize the verses what God says I ought to be as a wife, as a woman to my husband. If I was a man, I'd read and memorize all the verses of how Bible says that a man ought to provide for his own. He ought to be the leader of the home. He ought to be the spiritual head of the home. Those are the verses I would memorize. But when you turn your ear away from hearing the law, your prayer is an abomination. As far as God's concerned, he spews you out of his mouth. You can come to church or act religious. Put a shirt and tie on, put a dress and a skirt on, put a covering on, And God can call it an abomination. Because you know what you don't fast from? Your mouth. Oh, we're going to fast from eating meat this week, Pastor. Because, you know, Jesus died on Friday, Pastor. Where is that in the Bible? Jesus did not die on Friday. There's no such thing as a Good Friday, ladies and gentlemen. But you got to read your Bible to know that. You got your head in the Catholic toilet so long that you believe the lies that the devil's spewing. So we come before God like the Old Testament Jews did, bringing the oblations and bringing the offerings and bringing the sacrifices with a wicked mind, not hearing what God says and turning our ear away from the law. And you wonder why God's not blessing. Don't you want the blessings of God? Don't you want the power of God? Colossians chapter number 2, please. Verse number 6. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So, if you think Sunday's more important than Saturday, that's your business. I think every single day is the same, to be honest with you. Sunday just happens to be the first day of the week, ladies and gentlemen. That's all. You can have church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Doesn't really matter, or Saturday. Whenever we decide to have church, we'll have church. The Bible is very clear that no day is more important than any other. Let's go back to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Verse number 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. How many people went up to the eighth or ninth grade in school? Would you raise your hand? If I were to ask you what 1 + 1 is, could you tell me what the answer to that is? Would you know what the answer is? What's the answer? All right, now I'm going to ask you a little tougher question. If I ask you what 12 and 12 is, could you answer that question? Do you know what the answer is? What's the answer? 24, very good, wow. All right, so if I ask you another question, what's 24 plus 24? What is that? What is it? 48. Very good. Now, what grade are you in? The ones that are just answering that. What grade are you in? Third grade, and you knew what 24 plus 24 was. All right, here's a little tougher one. If I added 24 to 48, what do you get? 72, very good. Isn't that right? Is that right? 24 plus 24 is 48, right? 48 plus 24 is what? Is that right? Sounds right to me, all right? And I went to a public school too. All right, now, 24 plus 24 plus 24 equals how much? 72. We got that, right? Because 1 plus 1 equals 2, right? All right. Now, let's read the verse again. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What we do know from all the Gospels, if you were to read Matthew chapter number 28, let's go there, Matthew 28. And you can read this in Mark, Luke, and John also, I believe, all of them. But in Matthew 28, verse number 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, that's Saturday. There's two Sabbaths in this week here, but this verse talking about Saturday. As it began to dawn toward the what? First day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Well, when they got to the tomb there, they realize, verse number 6, the angel said, ye see Jesus, verse number 5, verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. All right, now, by Sunday morning, Jesus was gone. early in the morning. That means by 6 o'clock in the morning, the tomb was empty. Is that correct? All right, now, how many hours in a day? Wow, you learned that in school? What grade are you in? Yeah, all of you is right there. You two, three. How old? What grade are you in? Second grade. And you already knew that there were 24 hours in a day? You knew that too. I got news for you. Theologians and scholars don't know that. Bible teachers and Bible principals and Bible philosophers do not know that. Girls in second, third grade, fourth grade know that there's 24 hours in a day. They know that 24 plus 24 plus 24 equals how much? 72. All right, let's do something different now. Let's go backwards. Can you go that backwards? So for instance, if I said 48 plus 24 equals what? Very good. But if I go backwards and say 72 minus 24 equals what? Very good. I'm impressed. 48. You know something Bible theologians don't know. You know something Bible scholars don't know. You know something most religious people don't know. All right, so if we go backwards from Sunday morning, the first day of the week, 6 o'clock in the morning, let's say, okay? If I go 24 hours before Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, where do I end up at? Wow, Saturday. And you're still in second, third grade? That's impressive. That's just impressive. All right, so 24 hours before Sunday morning is what? Saturday. 24 hours before Friday, 6 a.m. is what time? No, 24 hours before Sunday morning, 6 a.m. is what time? Anybody class? Anybody. We're having a class now. We're teaching math, the new math today, okay? 6 o'clock what day? Saturday morning, right? So 24 hours before 6 o'clock Sunday morning is what? Saturday, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? All right. So if we go another 24 hours before Saturday, 6 a.m. in the morning. Wow. Friday morning. Who said that, Marty? Very good. And you're what grade? Ninth grade. You know more than Bible scholars know. He knows more than Bible theology students know. All right, so we've gone 48 hours now from 6 o'clock Sunday morning, right? So we started Sunday morning, 6 a.m., according to Matthew 28, right? Verse 1. We went back 24 hours from Sunday morning to Saturday morning. Then we go back another 24 hours from Saturday morning to Friday morning, 6 a.m. That's a total of how many hours? 48. Very good. But Jesus said he's going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights. There's no such thing as Easter Monday. Now watch this. We've gone back two days now. And 2 days equals how many hours? 48. We need to go back how many days? 3 days. Because that's what Jesus said, right? All right, so if we go back from Friday morning, 6 a.m., 24 hours back further, what day do we come to? Thursday, 6 a.m. Wow, you're pretty intelligent. For being in Troy, that's pretty intelligent, amen? I'm impressed. So Jesus said he has to be in the earth 3 days and three nights. That's what we just read in Matthew 12, verse number 40, right? So if you go back 3 days and three nights from Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, from Matthew 28, verse number 1, what day do you come up with and what time is it? Thursday, what time? 6 a.m. That means at a minimum, just a minimum, Jesus had to have been crucified no later, and it was before that, by the way, no later than Thursday morning, 6 a.m., in the ground, in the sepulcher. That's what he said in Matthew 12, 40. So where do you get Good Friday from? Catholicism, from the Antichrist Pope. Where do you get Good Friday from? And Good Thursday and Good Wednesday and Good Tuesday, Good Wednesday, Good Monday, Maundy, Monday. It's the names are so ridiculous. But we have too many ignorant people of God's people who come to church like the Jews in the Old Testament, and God says, I hate them. I despise your feast days. I hate your sacrifices. I hate your offerings. I hate the incense. Just like God hates Easter dresses that come with a wicked mind. Just like God hates the offerings on Palm Sunday or Christmas Eve services because the pagans and the heathen do it. We need to do it, Pastor. How come we don't have a Christmas Eve service, Pastor? How come we don't have a sunrise service, Pastor? Take your Bible, please, with me, and turn with me to Genesis. As soon as I find it, I'll let you know. Genesis. Chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8. If you were to read Exodus chapter number 12, it talks about the Passover. They were commanded to keep the Passover and observe the Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were commanded to observe the festivals, the feasts, the tabernacle, first fruits. That's why they observed Pentecost in the book of Acts, 50 days. But today people have Pentecost with wicked minds like people have Easter and Christmas today. You're so religious, you don't even know what the Bible says. You'd rather be religious than Christian. You'd rather be religious than obeying God. Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. That's very interesting. Because it turns out that the same day that the ark rested, the 17th day, of Nisan, the Jewish month, just happens to be 3 days and three nights after the 14th day of Nisan, which was the future Passover that God instituted in Exodus chapter number 12. And God caused the ark to rest from the flood, his wrath on this wicked and evil world. The same day that Jesus would rise from the dead to save mankind from the future wrath of a Christ-rejecting world that hates God and hates the Bible. And I want to remind you that the only people that were saved were Noah and his family inside the ark. Have you rested in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Or are you trying to keep the feast days and the holy days and the festivals and Easter and Christmas and all the other pagan, heathen, religious holidays and Palm Sunday that God hates? You know what? I grew up lighting my candles, Palm Sunday, Easter, Christmas, lost on my way to hell, not knowing what God said in the Bible. 21 years lighting my candles and doing the priest told me to do on my way to hell until I got saved in November 1978. Are you saved this morning? I'm not asking you if you're good or if you're religious. I'm not asking you, are you excited about coming to Palm Sunday services and Easter services, sunrise services, and Christmas Eve services? Why don't you stop being Catholic and start being Christian? Why don't you start reading your Bible and see what God says in the Bible? You think it's a coincidence of what happened in Genesis chapter number 8 with the ark? Jesus is the ark, by the way. Amen. And once, you see me go, once the trumpet sounds, that door is going to close, man. Once you take your last breath, that door closes, man. And you can cry all you want, you can scream all you want while the rain's coming down. It'll be eternally too late because you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, God will be merciful. God forgives everybody, not until you take your last breath and it's all over. He does until you take your last breath. Oh, I think God's going to be a merciful God. He is until you take your last breath. But if you rejected Jesus Christ now, he's going to reject you. If you deny him now, he's going to deny you. If you don't confess him now, he's not going to confess you then. Just telling you. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Or are you playing games with God? Huh? You're playing religious games with God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got saved. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. Starting in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, and this is part one of two parts. I'm going to finish this next Sunday morning, the adult Bible study. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Sometime April, March, I think it is. I'm not sure the entire calendar. I'm not exactly that proficient and expert in it. But the Jews say that they're in year 5780. Now, you'll hear a lot of believers say, you know, it's 4,000 years before the cross and about 2,000 years after the cross, which I believe to be correct, too. And I'm not sure if the Jews have the years correct or not. I'm just saying this is what they're saying, that it's 5,780 years after the creation of Adam, okay? That's how they've tabulated. That's how they calculated it. Which is close to 6,000, which is, 6 is the number of man, the Bible says. 7 is the number of completion or perfection, however you want to put it. But let's keep reading here. He changes. He says this is going to be the first of the year, right here. The first month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And this is one of the reasons you've ever seen or known Greeks, when it's Easter time, Pascha, they always, most all Greeks, either do it themselves or they gather around where a lamb is roasted, because they get it from Exodus chapter 12. Greeks are big in roasting lambs around Easter time. Just telling you, Passover time. And that's where they get it from. We do it. Every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse number 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That's interesting, isn't it? That's why this is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, sinless Lamb of God. He was spotless, without blemish. Guess what? Jesus was killed, died on Passover, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't an axe. It wasn't, this is a good day, the weather is good, I have time now. No. It was preordained that the Lamb of God was going to die on Passover to fulfill Exodus chapter 12. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day. That's interesting, from the 10th to the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly, that's interesting. This is a very prophetic verse right here. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill what? It. But we just read that they're each going to, each house or each group of people going to take their own lamb and sacrifice their own lamb. But here in verse number 6, it says, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. The Lamb of God. They killed the Lamb of God. The whole congregation of Israel killed singular the Lamb of God. It's not an accident. It's not there by mistake. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, you know what a door looks like. You know the door posts, right? Strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses. So here you have the, you know, you have the posts on each side of the door, and they're supposed to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the door posts and on the top post that goes across the doorway. So why in the world would they want to do that? Because the blood on this door post and the blood on that doorpost and the blood on the middle of the top post dripping down makes a perfect cross of the prophecy of the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God dying for each home that believes in him. And the door, the heart is a picture of the door. And that's why the blood of the Lamb washes away all your sins. Not for a Catholic or a Baptist, but for a believer. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Do you eat the Word of God? Is it your manna? Jesus called the Word of God at least 3 times in the Bible. At least 3 times he's called the Word of God. Jeremiah said, I'd rather have the Word of God more than my, oh, Job said, more than my necessary food. That's what Job said. How much Bible did you read this week? Or did you read religious references on fake book? Or did you read devotionals? 3, 4, or 5 paragraphs written by a heathen, wicked man about one Bible verse. How much Bible did you read this week? How many video games did you play? How many movies did you watch? How long were you online? How much was your face in a computer screen this week? They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. Huh, wonder why there's fire involved here. Roasting with fire. I wonder, do you think there really is hell fire, ladies and gentlemen? Just like Jesus, do you really believe Jesus said that there's hell fire in hell? Do you really believe that? Oh, a loving, merciful God would never send anybody to hell. Have you ever read what Jesus said about fire being in hell? People being roasted and salted in hell with fire and brimstone? This is not the normal Palm Sunday service I thought I was expecting. Yeah, it's not. It's not. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Bitter herbs. You know the most bitter herbs are the best for you? Yeah. The most bitter fruits, the most bitter vegetables are the best for you. I know we like ice cream and sugar, but they're not good for you. Your taste buds want them, but they're not good for your body. The most bitter herbs are the best for your health. And there's some things in the Bible that are bitter. Yeah. Yeah. Revelation is very clear. Verse Verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That's like preaching the whole counsel of God. That's like believing all of it. That's like reading all of it. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. That means you ought to get saved as soon as possible. If you're not saved this morning, you ought to get saved right now, sitting in your pew, and ask God to save your soul from hell, that you're one breath away if you're not saved. Amen. Don't wait for the invitation. Don't last for the last song. Don't wait for the last song. You get saved now. Amen. If you're hearing my voice, you better get saved now. Amen. Loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I'm ready to go home, are you? Amen. I'm ready to go home. Trumpet sound, take my last breath. I'm ready to go home. Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to see Jesus right now? I said, no, I don't want to go right now. There's so many things I need to do. You're not right with God. You're not right with God. The only thing you ought to be concerned about, there's other people that need to be saved. That's the only thing that ought to concern you at all. There's other people that need to get saved before I die, before Jesus gets here. You're concerned about your house, and you're concerned about your clothes, you're concerned about your job, you're concerned about your money, you're concerned about your future, you're concerned about everything else instead of what God's concerned about. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Well, guess what? I'm keeping the Passover because I have the Passover lamb in my heart. Amen. I'm keeping the Sabbath because I have the Lord of the Sabbath in my heart. Amen. Not the feasts and the festivals and the holy days that you're so consumed with and concerned about. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Why don't you get more excited about the King James Bible and Jesus than you are about Palm Sunday and Easter and Christmas trees? Amen. Christmas Eve service and sunrise services are straight out of hell. Amen. And God hates it. Right. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done for you. That's why we don't believe in a work salvation. Anybody ever insinuates, anybody even hints that there's got to be some kind of works to prove your salvation, that's blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus did all the work here. All they had to do was obey the gospel to be saved. Verse 17, ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, and leaven is a picture of sin in the Bible, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leaven. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And the Bible says very clearly, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel. It's the doorpost above that goes crosswise. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. How come they don't put blood on their doorposts anymore? Because they've rejected the word of God. I got the blood on my doorposts. I got it right here. But if they believe the Old Testament so much, God commands them every single year to take a lamb, kill it, take the blood, and physically put the blood on their doorpost and on the lintel. They're God-rejecting Jews, just like there's God-rejecting Gentiles. Just like there's God-rejecting religious people that come to Palm Sunday and Easter services and sunrise services and Christmas Eve services and Christmas Day services. We'll finish it next Sunday morning. Let's all stand. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. Please bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. Bless the morning service to follow. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll take about maybe 6-7 minutes. Come right back.